Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I'm really grateful for you being here today. Today we've got something a little bit special, and it's special because for a couple of reasons really. The first is that this is recording from the first ever marketing meetup in New York City, and indeed the first ever marketing meetup internationally. I never could have imagined that this silly little event that was run in the canteen in Cambridge at the Redgate Software Building would ever grow into what it has. So let me just say that I'm so grateful for all of the community for turning this into what it is today. It's been an amazing journey. The second reason it's special is because we're going to be hearing from Christina Heaney, who is the former Chief Marketing and Experience Officer of Cirque du Soleil. Now, Cirque du Soleil need no introduction at all, but did you know that they're the third largest ticket seller in the entire world? It's absolutely bonkers, and it's such a privilege to have her on our stage. Christina speaks all about the power of live experiences, and that's something that she's really passionate about, but also from a perspective of a really seasoned marketer who really, really knows her stuff. I just stood there in absolute admiration and awe for the stuff that she was speaking about and the knowledge that she was sharing. It was a real sort of special moment in time. I couldn't be more grateful for her to actually spend the time with us, especially to launch the first event in New York. I'm going to let Christina take it from here. So all I can say is that I hope you really, really enjoy the talk. I really got the sense that every sentence was absolutely dripping with gold, and that you'll take a lot away from it too. I want to say a big thank you to Bravo Marketing, the lovely, 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 lovely Barry, who is a creative specialist who specializes in creating results from creatives. I feel like I said specialist and creative quite a lot there. Barry is the kind of guy that you parachute in as and when you need some creativity in your business, but actually have the pressure to deliver results too. If you'd like to know more about Baz, head to bravomarketing.co.uk. We've also got a big thanks to Columba. They're run by a top chap called Sam. Now, Columba act in the middle of agencies and brands on projects to make sure that the right agency is getting the right project to deliver in the best possible way. Sam sits in the middle, facilitates this process, and does a cracking job at it. His business has been growing rapidly over the last period, and that's only based on the quality of his work. Not only is he a nice guy, but he does a really, really good job. We're really excited to have them on board. So please do check out Columba. And that's it. So over to Christina.
Thank you. Wow. Thanks, Chris. I think I can speak for all of us when I say I hope we've earned a copy of that deck for anyone who's already on their second beer. I think I'm the biggest asshole in the room who forgot to actually put on a name tag. So I'll introduce myself in a second. First, I just want to say thank you for Joe for the invitation, and a huge congratulations at your inaugural event in New York City. You can see how disarming he is, right? So, you know, hardened New Yorker here. I spoke to him for 20 minutes, and I'm like, I'm not speaking. Oh, wow, okay, maybe I could speak. Okay, yeah, no, okay, presentation, okay, yeah, no, maybe I could. And by the end of the call, I was like, God damn it, we are going to find the most positively lovely room of New Yorkers, and we are just going to bring the house down. Fuck all the Londoners, we're going to do it. So I hope, so thank you all for coming, and we're going to show all those folks, all those Brits, how it's done tonight. So, quick introduction. You can decide if that's me in my former performer life or not. Christina Heaney, my old friends call me Tina. So I'll go by either, not Chris, sorry. I'm a live experience marketer, have been my whole career, 20 odd years, so I won't go into that number. And most recently, I spent the last 4.5 years with the circus as the Chief Marketing Experience Officer of Cirque du Soleil. And I love it. I am very passionate about two things within live entertainment: the creativity and the celebration of just unbridled emotion and creativity, and the celebration of human performance in all forms. And on the other side, the ability to build community. Sorry, Brits, but it's through emotion. We are going to the other side of the brain here, guys. Totally other side of the brain. And I've always been really passionate about it because one reason: I feel like the walls come down when even strangers experience something together, and we just become better people. And so I've been passionate about my whole career. And the other thing I'm passionate about is my boys. I have a 14-year-old and 11-year-old boy. Live in New Jersey with my husband, and I'm proud to say that I've passed the live experience gene onto them, although I'm horrified to admit in this crowd that I lost the New York sports versus Boston sports challenge to my Bostonian husband, but I digress. Let me give you a little bit about my background first. I started my career at the National Basketball Association, small league, and actually started as secretary for all of those that can't figure out a way in. Start at the bottom, it's fine. You'll learn a lot. Just read everything you're supposed to copy. And while I was there, I learned two things. First, that you know my passion of live experience was a very powerful thing within the world for building, and specifically sports, for building suspense and community and passion. And I also learned, of course, about the business, the strategies of experience building. And inevitably, as broad and wide as those strategies are, there's, as many marketers will tell you, different stories. If I do the speech tomorrow, I'll tell you a different story. But inevitably, it comes down to one thing, and that's an emotional connection. And so I took that experience about 4 years to Madison Square Garden, where I spent 15 years. And while there, I marketed everything from Paw Patrol to Dora the Explorer to Billy Joel to Maroon 5 to the Rockettes. And I found that the power extends beyond sports to unify, to build that passion. And it actually spends to all live experiences. And another crucial thing I learned there that I'll talk a little bit about more is that fandom is associative. And it's deepened with common experiences. And so, emboldened by that adventure, I joined the circus. And I literally felt some days that I was playing with fire. And there I was humbled to see an extraordinarily deep connection, an emotional connection between Cirque du Soleil and its fans. Has anyone seen a Cirque du Soleil show? Okay. Now you're all hardened New Yorkers or Brits, but I will tell you that people cry at Cirque shows. I don't. But you know, it made us wonder, you know, what is it about experiences that can be so overwhelming that it literally takes your breath away? So often as marketers, we would try to figure out the word cloud, right? Of, you know, what is it about it? And inevitably people would talk about the ingredients, right? Acrobatics, whatever. And their description broader than that went from that to just wow. Oh my God, it was amazing. And so a lot of our work was spent in figuring out what that emotional connection was, because it was our responsibility as the brand and the folks that had fostered that relationship to give back, to build that bridge, to build the continuous connection with our fans. And I'll take you through some of our findings there. But I figured, if I can click, see, I told you I would be the one with the clicker. Okay, I figured here's what we talk about, and certainly up for questions as well. But why do live experiences matter? You know, why? What is this experience economy that has been exploding around us in recent years? And how and what have we learned, the sort of the old experience economy that is helpful, that is being used now within the new experience economy, but moreover could be helpful to all of you. Not every brand can build fandom. Not every brand can build a tribe, if you will. But people are looking to connect with things that matter to them. And through storytelling and through emotion, you can find a connection and hopefully a couple nuggets of information to inspire you tomorrow. And so the power of experience. What is it about experience that finds me up on the stage tonight? The first is we're a product of our environment, right? We just heard how difficult it is to attribute the journey of any consumer, right? Well, it's because we're one of many. And I think in every given day, and the number changes as many times as you ask the stat, but people see 7,000 ads. Forget the amount of brand impressions you've seen in your journey from waking up this morning to right now. Next, we have attention spans keep shrinking. The average consumer gives a brand 8 seconds. I still see faces looking at me, so I don't think I've lost you yet. But see, thank you. You laughed at the bad joke. There you go. But seriously, we're at our most challenged right now in society, right? And people live for social currency. We all know this, right? 56% of users report that they spend an average of 5 hours on social media. And why do they do that? And by the way, let's go back a minute. If you think you don't have time for something, look where you're spending 5 hours. You could fucking like go to business school and like you can do anything with that 5 hours, right? And why do they do that? Because people have a fear of missing out, right? People say that they go online, and obviously this is more of a millennial and Gen Z, but people say they go online because they want to know what they missed, and their fear is that they didn't miss it. That's why we had a wait list tonight. What else? This is probably the most crucial that I'll talk about a lot through this. It's brands die by word of mouth, right? Brands live or die by word of mouth. 93% of all consumers say they will listen to a relative or a friend over any other beautiful brand campaign that you've put in front of them. 93%. And lastly, experiences are more valuable than things. You ask a millennial if they would prefer to see an experience or buy a product, 76% of them will pick an experience. So we're a product of our environment. But on the Circ side, as I mentioned, we wanted to dig deeper. So we actually went on the total other side to the science. We went personal. And when you're Circ and you want to do a science project, you partner with a company called the Lab of Misfits, who is a world-renowned behavioral neuroscientist group. They actually do a lot of TED Talks. The guy's name is Bolotto. You want to check it out. And we said, okay, what is it about this emotional connection that keeps people coming back to our shows? By the way, Circ sells 14 million tickets globally a year. 14 million tickets. I'm gone, they're still gonna sell 14 million tickets, maybe 13 and a half, but 65 countries, right? So we were trying to translate this emotion not only in one language, but borderless, right? How are we thinking about this in terms of a brand? And so we partnered with Bo, and we had no rules. We didn't care if it came out that Circ was shit and everyone just spend their money on sports. Really didn't care. We just wanted to understand it more because, again, that was our responsibility. And so we turned the O Theater in Las Vegas into a lab. And the hypothesis that the scientists had was that there's actually a rare emotion that's experienced within live context that is not able to be studied in much other places because you can't replicate it in a lab. Thus, we created the lab. And what we discovered was awe. Awe is an elevated emotion beyond the sixth, I'm not a scientist, but beyond the sixth base emotions that you might feel. It's elevated above, excitement and surprise. And it's actually a catalyst for human discovery. And what we found, and this is now a white paper, so all legit and published and everything, and it says that awe leads to fully living in the moment. When someone experiences something that's so big they can't quite understand, your brain actually slows down. That's why you remember every minute of something so awesome. You remember that, you might not remember your walk to work, but you remember every minute of a concert or the last couple minutes of a great game. There's something about it that our biology helps us slow down to figure it out. The next is that we feel more connected to each other. When we experience something bigger than ourselves, we feel smaller and yet connected to each other. Look no farther than a buzzer beater at the end of a game where two strangers hug each other. That is connection at work, especially in New York. And lastly, the ability to leap into the unknown. Awe makes us braver. When you experience something you couldn't have possibly imagined created by somebody else, whether it's human performance or other, whether it's a mountain, you're experiencing something that you can't articulate and couldn't have possibly fathomed before you see it. And so it makes you bolder. It makes you think that you can do anything. And you take that out into the world with you. So we've looked at the world as we live, and we looked at the personal, human part. And so it's no wonder that the original experience economy, that's what we call our live entertainment folks, is exploding, absolutely exploding. $140 billion global live entertainment business. In the U.S. alone, the concert business is supposed to break $35 billion. And finally, just Ticketmaster. There's plenty of other ticketing providers, but just since I know probably there's no fans of Ticketmaster here, they took money from 93 million people in 2018. 93 million people. It's unbelievable. If you add that, if you add, you know, AEG and a bunch of other guys, easily in the US, that number was over 150 million in 2018. So just to give you a sense of the size of the industry that people are yearning for with this connection. But there's something called the new experience economy. Pop culture moment. Who loved the ad? Who hated the ad? Who knows who that is? That's the Peloton lady. I own a Peloton. That's, again, not me. But what is it? So let me back up for a second. So what is it about these brands that are leaning into this space where they don't otherwise have a rightful place to be, but here they are? And so I think it's probably, and these days, brands are finding a disproportionate brand loyalty in the past. So why is that? Well, I think it's helpful to go back to basics. What's a consumer? Right? So a consumer, someone who buys something. We actually use language that's very transactional in that space too, right? I bought toilet paper. I use batteries, right? It's very transactional and sort of mundane, right? And that could be a commodity, right? Who knows what kind of toilet paper they use today? Oh, good. Brand affinity, we're going to get to that. But then, you know, most times it's something transactional, right? Some brands step up to that place of brand affinity, right? Where you've built some sort of expectation from them. They don't let you down. They maybe have the right value proposition for you. They're easily available on Amazon Prime. Something about them, you know, builds a sense of relationship and responsibility. And the next would be brand love, right? How many people switch between Android and iPhone every other phone? You're either Android or your iPhone, right? That's brand love, where you're at a place where it starts to become personal to you, where you associate with something because of the attributes of that brand and the story it's created, and you start to create a personal narrative that includes, I'm an Apple owner. But then you elevate to a fan. What's a fan? An enthusiastic devotee, an admirer, which used to be the realm of sports and entertainment almost exclusively. To be a fan is the most personal statement you can make about something that you don't otherwise control. It's actually the deepest respect you can show to a fan, to show to a brand, because you change your language, right? You use words like I am and I love, right? So you stepped up and you really started to personalize what you're buying and what you're associating with who you are. Okay, and as I mentioned before, fandom is associative. Okay, raise your hands. How many people are Knicks fans? Come on. How many people are Knicks fans? Who introduced you to the Knicks?
Wasn't a specific person. But
no? Okay, how about you? Yeah? Right. Okay, why are you still fans? They haven't won since I worked at the NBA in 1999. They haven't even gotten to the finals since 1999. They're the worst team in the league for the last 10 years. Why are you still a fan? Right, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, right? That's what it is. It's who you are. And there's something else above fandom that helps you stay there, and that's a tribe. It's a community of loyal people to a particular brand, right? And we saw it with Knicks, where it keeps you in there, right? It keeps you engaged. But this, other people, what other brands are leaning on, right? They've developed fandom, and then they've developed a tribe. The biggest advocates for, or defenders of that Peloton ad, Peloton owners. Myself included. I thought the ad sucked, but myself included. But there's tons of others, right? Who's proud that they know the, I guess there were not a lot of people from the West Coast, but who's proud that they know the secret menu, right? Exactly. So, and you shop at Target, you don't shop at Walmart, right? There's a narrative that you build, and there's a tribe that you build. And not every brand is going to build a tribe. But the fact that more and more people are looking to create associations and a piece of them through what they buy is something that I think is very important, and things that non-live entertainment brands are starting to use. So I've had three core beliefs of how I've marketed that I've sort of pieced together. I wouldn't have said this on day one. And I think a lot of them are associative for what we're seeing today, so I'll share them. The first is stand out from the crowd. unapologetically live your brand values. Be original, be focused. You've started with a purpose. Most likely you started with, especially founders these days, they're starting with a problem they saw as a consumer. And then they're finding like-minded people to share that with. So stand out from the crowd. Don't fall into step with everybody else. The next is connect at an emotional level. There it is. Sorry, Brits. This is where purpose-driven, authentic storytelling, those buzzwords that you hear all every day, this is where brands that aren't doing it through human performance are connecting and celebrating their wins. And lastly, live the experience every day. Create the community for them. Create the tribe that's going to be there when the brand can't be. That's going to build that community and connect. And I don't care if it's a subreddit or a Facebook group that they're all that Facebook's all big on now. Whatever it is, there's communities that are built for and to deepen that community. Whether the team stinks or they're winning the World Series. I know I just switched two different sports there. So. All right, that's all nice and good. That's all soft and fuzzy, but how do you find them? Because as Chris just said, it's no easy task. So in fact, this is what I think of the new consumer journey today. A little less intelligent, but there is none. There is no effing way you can replicate a consumer journey today. And if you can, fire them. If someone says they can, fire them. Sorry, Chris, just fire them, because it's not possible. Yeah, with machine learning and AI, you can do your best to find a bunch of them along the funnel. But today, no one can replicate it exactly. And I'll give you more bad news before I give you the good news. Some people are still working with a marketing funnel that is the most egotistical, narcissistic, brand-focused funnel that I've ever seen. We just expect consumers to fall in line one after another, and then loyalty is all the way down here, and then, we just expect to do it again and find the next person. It's a fool's errand. And I guessed something tonight, but I always guess wrong. So. Why is awareness bigger? What is the awareness ratio signify here? Just call it out.
That people know about it.
Yeah, volume, okay.
And the intangible assets for the brand.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Yeah?
Relevance.
Relevance, okay, yeah. I think it also stands for how much money you might spend, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the volume. And it might even imply effort, right? And that's what I have... I have always disagreed with. So let's see. I've told you over and over again that we're students of fans. And so we always go back to fans. Dirty little secret, live entertainment marketers, it might sound sexy and everything, we have no money to market. No money, no money. The average marketing budget is anywhere from 2 to 10%, maybe, that's for really rich people, rich brands, of the total gross revenue. That's it. And in fact, it's capacity managed, right? So, you can only sell 18,000 tickets to a Knicks game. You can only sell 6,321 seats at Radio City Music Hall. It's a limit. So as soon as you start hitting that limit, what do? The thing that is just bonkers to any marketer, you start pulling back on marketing dollars, right? So selfishly for us, we never really had the benefit of the top of the funnel to market to, right? So we always started lower. And we started with an insight. I think this is my own. I have two charts. Okay, this is one. We started with an insight that I never really articulated before. But we did this. We did the study at. Oh, this moves. Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that. Sorry, I stole it from. I don't know. so a shiny object. Sorry. Anyway, so we found that. So we studied this at CERC, and it's mind-boggling, actually. What it showed was that during the biggest opportunities for brand advocacy, we saw the lowest excitement level of our fans. I'll say it again. The biggest opportunity for brand advocacy is when? Right, when? When do you expect someone to be really excited and able to help you sell your brand?
Right
after they've seen the show and right after they've opened their wallet. Which sometimes is a longer span of time, right, between when you purchase a show ticket or a game ticket and when you actually experience the product, right? So that's what this signifies, pre-event, event, and post-event. And what we found was that the pointer, is the red one the pointer? Okay. What we found is that we expected this, right? Oh, my hand's shaking. So we expected, you know, this blue line right here, right? Which makes sense, right? You'd see someone buy something, they get more and more excited as the show or game shows up, and then there's a fall off after. But in fact, what we found was huge dips in the excitement level post-purchase and post-event. Why is that? Well, post-purchase, it's a luxury item usually, so they've just spent a big amount of money, and then they have to wait, right? Sometimes 36 hours, sometimes months, right? And so they're looking for justification. They're looking for, they're not sure they made a good purchase yet. Right? They're not sure all the starting five is going to play that night. They're not sure that the Broadway lead is going to show up that night. Right? They're actually holding back their excitement and mitigating it. The other is post-event. And this is shocking. But think about it with me then. The best concert you've ever seen. How did you feel when you walked out those arena doors? Probably felt great, right? Until you had to figure out the subway. Until you had to get on, push through people, right? Reality sucks, especially when you've been so high. And unfortunately, you're working against something else where humans are always orienting towards closure, right? So in the biggest opportunities for us, we actually consistently see, and my marketing folks here, my live and time marketing folks here are nodding, so I'm not bullshitting. We actually see the lowest opportunity for us to build word of mouth. So what have we done? We stretch the hell out of that experience as much as we possibly can. At Cirque, we called it bursting the bubble. And if the bubble is the event, we were trying desperately to explode the feeling of that experience from the post-purchase past as far as we could. So I'll give you an example. We're looking for justification, right? We're telling them how great the show is going to be. We're sending them loyalty patches. We're sending them things to post on Instagram. We're giving them freebies already. Free drink if you arrive early, bring a friend, all that kind of stuff. Right before the event, if you ever purchase an event online where they have your email, we are trying desperately to remove every possible friction point. We're telling you when to arrive early, what security is going to be like, who's the opening act if you really don't want to go for the opening act. We're trying to tell you everything possible to keep that excitement building. And on the end, we're giving you behind the scenes, what happened that you might not have seen, what did the handwritten set list look like, here's the Spotify link to it, right? We're giving you everything possible to expand that as much as we can, which means we're spending a ridiculously large, disproportionate amount of effort on someone who's already bought a ticket. Why is that? Because we need the word of mouth. We need the advocacy. We need that, right? So I put this on the thing where, you know, of course, awareness and the funnel here is large amount of dollars, or relatively speaking, large amount of volume, right? And maybe lower amount of effort than most times in our world, because we didn't have the marketing budget for it. Over here, we're focused on adoption, retention, expansion, cross-sell and upsell, and advocacy. So our biggest effort is spent on someone who already bought a ticket, and the effort of bringing them back to our fold to help basically us get an army of marketers around us. Right? And why will people do it? Because they love associating with the brands that they've chosen. Right, so it's intuitive like that. So I'm almost done. It's 26 seconds I've been talking about. 26 minutes I've been talking. So what would I like you to take away from this? I've just talked a lot about the fan journey and word of mouth, and hopefully there's some snippets of that you could see relevant to your world. But I want to come back to the fact that it all starts with emotion. It all starts with that authenticity. You have to connect with hearts. And remember, it all starts with emotion. So I'll recap quick. The, you know, live entertainment marketers focus on emotion. Emotion is connective and associative. And fandom, and we treat fandom with deep, deep respect. Understand them more, justify their decision to spend time with us, and we fuel it as much as possible because we want them to get into that advocacy stage as soon as possible to help us sell the next ticket. Tribes, they're a glorious thing that take the pressure off every once in a while because they give that moment, they give that space for folks who have a collective passion to talk when we're not moderating outside the room. But we also create those communities as much as we can so that there's that those collective touch points throughout the way so that hopefully we retain that brand love till the next time around. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, all right. Thank you.